KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We'd like to thank our sponsor, North State Consultants, Incorporated, and they can be reached at 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. Today is June 29th, 2013, and you're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State. And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And with Savannah, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And we also have our special guests here today. We got Josh
Bollinger.
I'm sorry. It's been a rough night. I hurt my back. I've been up all night popping ibuprofen.
Oh.
So I'm a little bit off my game here. I hope nobody will hold it against me. We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Or call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. I can be friended on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. Do we have any veterans events that we want to talk about?
We have Camp for Life we need to talk about, Missing in America Project and Walmart Heart. The Trekkers are putting on Camp for Life from June 29th to July 6th. That's out at Whiskey Town. What it is, it's 19 families with terminally ill children, and we do a camp out there, and we feed them and do all kinds of stuff. If you're interested in helping out, we do storytelling and, you know, things like that, or help serve food. You can give Brandy a call at 529-8476.
All right. Very good. Very good. Let's see. I went off on a Lord Acton binge last night. Lord Acton was a guy back in the day who was an economist. And so I had several quotes that I just couldn't decide which one that I liked the best. And the first quote I have is, "The issue which has swept down through the centuries and which will have to be fought sooner or later is the people versus the banks." Now, that's an interesting quote, that this guy is saying that sooner or later we're going to have to fight the banks. The next one from him is, "Liberty is not a means to a higher political end. It is in itself the highest political end." And that was from a lecture in 1877. And his last quote is, "Socialism means slavery." So I'm kind of thinking this guy knew what he was talking about a little bit. And interesting quotes anyway, no matter how you slice the pie. So what else have I got here? I got headline after headline after headline. Most of this stuff is coming from Edward Griffin. You know, I get his edition of the Unfiltered News. And so, gosh, there's so many headlines here. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's see. We got a graphic video of militants in Syria, you know, beheading Christians. That's a good one. Yeah. Biotech companies over 30 million, spent over $30 million in 2012 to make sure that Congress didn't pass legislation that would outlaw GMOs. Or last would require them to be labeled. I mean, let's see. Oops, a study on guns, Obama, blah, blah, blah. Hobbyist at home made a drone equipped with a video camera, spied on the backyard sunbather, and came close to snooping windows of apartments before losing control.
Well, did you see the new one where California got like $37 million so for the school system so the kids could go home and sell it to their parents for the Obamacare?
Yeah, that's down below.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in here. 80% of Americans opposed arming terrorists linked to rebels in Syria, yet the Obama administration is prepared to do exactly that. European bankers are setting rules for future bank bailouts using the Cyprus as a model, which is, well, if you like having all your money confiscated in the bank, that's a good model to have. And let's see. What else we got here? Putin says that, Russian President Putin says that the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden is in Russia. Nobody knew that, right?
No.
Secret recordings of Irish bankers reveal their bailout strategy for the Anglo-Irish Bank. And basically it says they hid their losses, lied about the size of the bailouts that they required, mocked the Germans over the influx of German capital they were getting. The recordings revealed that bankers think, act, and talk like common criminals.
And that's not happening anywhere else?
And it says, which they are. So Los Angeles schools are training students to sell Obamacare to their parents. You know, so that you can go to, you know, the Unfiltered News and see all this. There was several good ones. There's a bunch of news here, and I'm trying to pick out, cherry pick some of this stuff out of here. Let's see. Oh, here's one. We'll start. This is, you can't make this stuff up. Cabbage, GMO, okay. We got cabbage that is going to be crossed with scorpion, you know, with scorpions. It's unbelievable. Let me go back where I was at here. Let's see. Monsanto, where's the scorpion one? I just had it here. I got the article. This comes from, GaiaHealth.com. GM cabbage with scorpion poison coming soon. Agribusinesses in a mad rush to take over the earth, it seems, willing to stop at nothing. Coming soon is cabbage with scorpion poison engineered in every cell. Of course, evidently what they're saying, the reason that they're doing this is that it's hard for the, with the scorpion poison in there, for the pests to eat the cabbage. You know, I guess it doesn't really matter if the people do.
Yeah.
But as long as you can deliver to market what you need to have. So there's that one. Let's see. We got the Los Angeles students training. That's from Infowars.com is the original source on that one. Los Angeles students training. What else we got here? Friendships. This is from On the Money Report. Friendships have greased wheels for IRS contacts. No. No. So evidently, you know, there was a $500 million in contracts that an IRS official helped funnel work to a friend whose technological company received some $500 million in agency contracts, according to the new congressional investigation. This is the new congressional investigation, by the way. I'm not sure how many congressional investigations we have going at this point, but there's so many that we can't even count on.
Yeah.
We've lost track of the congressional investigations. So, okay, so I mean, it's like really?
And we're going where?
Oh boy. So we have this one from Homeland Security Newswire. DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security, no longer conducts regular background checks of immigration applicants. So they're not doing any criminal background checks of immigration applicants anymore. You know,
but they do on us.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
What a big deal.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And this is from Judicial Watch, evidently. A government watchdog group released a report that DHS is no longer conducting ordinary background checks because of the increased volume of amnesty applicants, which followed President Obama's executive order, which took effect August 15th of last year. Yeah, so we're not doing that anymore. But, you know, why would we do that and spend money there when we can go to Africa on a junket that's worth, you know, $100 million or something? What else we got here? I think we got to go to a break here in a minute.
Yeah, before we do, we want to mention our fundraiser that we have coming up today.
Oh, yeah, that's tonight.
The doors open at 4:30. We'll be at Wind River. We do have a few tickets left. This is to help support this program, Sovereign Minds, and We the People. We have lots of guns and knives and great prizes you can win down there. So come down and check it out. Like I say, we only have a few tickets left.
Very good.
And I guess with that, we're going to go to a break. It's because this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Very good.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife, Kathy, and I would like to thank every person in business that donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue coming up July 3rd at the Shasta District Fairground in conjunction with Anderson Explodes. They are Andrade Estate Liquidations, Big Valley Sanitation, Brandon and Jamie Dersh, Brian Daly, Buttes Insurance and Gridley, Harmona's Appliance of Redding and Red Bluff, Chuck and Peggy Lima, Corning Ford, Demo Mitri, Corning Chevrolet, Dersh Apiaries, Fat Daddy's Barbecues, Harbert Roofing, Hoy & Son Construction, Hutchins Paving, Interwest Insurance Services, Jerry Hill, Jim and Sherry Ray, and John Carr. Pre-sale tickets will be at Tri-County Bank inside the Walmart in Anderson and Northern Lights Energy in Redding. All you can eat, $10. 241-2196. And thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Keep it going, Savannah. I had to put that wolf howl in there.
That ain't working. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chips for free. Money for nothing.
Yeah, we were just talking about my mentality in high school, and there it is. The money for nothing and the chicks for free.
Something like that. We won't comment on that.
Okay, never mind. I'm not gonna.
There's some information sisters have.
Let's not dredge up the past. Anyway, I have my guest here with me. It's, his name is Josh Bollinger, and I met him at a tea party meeting, and this guy is 16 years old and has a better grasp on economics than just about anybody I've ever met, especially at that age. I mean, and I'm talking about people that are, you know, supposed to know what they're talking about. And so I just invited him down to the studio here because, you know, every time we get together, it's like it just, there's no lack of information.
And it's great to see a young face that
there's always
that
something
has
to talk about. Yeah.
So anyway, Josh is here. How you doing this morning, Josh?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Oh,
you
We're know, doing good.
I always say the fun never stops because it never does. And so let's get right into our first topic here, which is inflation. I had someone tell me that there's no inflation. Really? Have you been to the store lately? Let's see. When we started out in 08 with Bush, and I'm not advocating for Bush here. Everybody knows I don't like Bush either. But gas prices were, what, $1.89?
Around that.
And now they're $4. I'm not sure. Is that the prices going up?
It's just a delusion.
Yeah, we're deluded. Yeah, it's just, you just dilute it, you know? And,
yeah.
The government says we have virtually no inflation. So I think that's where most of us are getting it. They're saying it's less than 2%. You know, today's gasoline is, you know, in the article I'm reading here, it's from, WND. We got Jerome Corsi, who's a pretty smart guy. And, gasoline is, he says, well above $3. Well, evidently, you know, I'm thinking it's like above $4 now or pretty close to it. And so, you know.
In beautiful California it is.
Yeah. Costs $50 or more to fill up your gas tank. You're lucky if $100 buys two bags of groceries at the supermarket. Even if you know, they have what they call hedonics and they, you know, there's core inflation and we'll get into a little bit of this stuff too. You know, you go to a movie theater, it can cost $75. I went to the other day, I took my grandkids to see a 3D movie, mm-hmm. and I was like, I had sticker shock. I mean, I thought when they said 3D, that meant that we just had to wear glasses. I didn't know that they were going to inflate the prices by $4. So it's like
you pay full price for the children now, right?
It cost me $50 to take my two little grandkids to the movie and my son. And that was with not eating anything. So if we'd have ate, you know, I'd have had to get the credit cards out and, you know, all that good stuff, you know, and go into debt, hawk things. But
leave the grandchildren.
But the U.S. Department of Labor Statistics reported, you know, in August 2007, remarkably, that low inflation was only 1.7%. Now, solving this riddle that is, why does everything cost so much and the government keeps telling us inflation rates are low? It's really simple. They lie. That's the story. The Bureau of Labor Statistics lie. So
imagine that.
What do you think about that, Josh? I mean, what would be your definition of inflation?
Look at the prices 100 years ago.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
So, really when they say inflation and it's at 2%, which is nothing. So that's the average growth of the money supply.
Right.
You know, on a good economy.
Yeah. Except that they've been jumping at 85
yes.
billion yeah. a month. Yeah. So I guess
it's really not. Yeah. What happens when that money hits the markets?
That's really good. We had that topic out there that we were talking about is what happens when that money really hits the markets mm-hmm. is that, you know, they're printing $85 billion a month. They're saying our core inflation is 2%.
multiplier effect.
yeah. But where's it going? That's the question. It's being stored up. And at some point in time, that is going to have to go back.
They're being paid for it too.
Yeah. And it's going to have to come back to the market sooner or later.
Yeah.
And so when they talk about core inflation, they do this hedonics thing. What they're doing is they're throwing out the things that are going up and keeping in the things that are going down. So that's how they lie with the figures is they say, oh, there's no inflation at the grocery store because we don't count that. There's no
inflation. We don't count the gas. We don't count the food.
Yeah. With all that stuff, I mean, do we need gas and food to live?
Absolutely.
Cause if you can't get to the store to buy the food, I guess that's a problem. So let's continue down that line of thinking. So you would measure it from 100 years ago, say.
Relative to gold, yeah.
Yes,
definitely. I mean, that's obvious.
I like this guy.
but I mean, as far as, consumer prices, you know, I think they're right in saying 2%, but that doesn't mean that the value of the dollar is, you know, worth more than it was 100 years ago, because it's not.
Well, and you know something, 2% inflation over a 100-year period means that prices are doubling 100% or more over that time period.
Yep.
And people don't realize that. Well, 2% doesn't sound like much, mm-hmm. but do that over a 75-year mm-hmm. period, 2% equals how much a devaluation of the currency.
Someone else do the equation, but yeah.
A lot.
Well, it's true. So we know that our dollar – see, it's inflation. You know, I wish I had that Keynes quote about one man in a million will figure this out. I'm not the man in a million that figured it out. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying basically is that it's so subtle because you don't see him printing the money. You don't see him putting it into the economy. You don't see, you know, a 2% increase over time doesn't mean much, and you get used to that increase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, your minimum wage keeps on going up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, it's price controls at its best. So, yeah. I mean, it's a price floor.
Well, and price controls never work sooner or later. They, mm-hmm. That's what happens is that, you know, you keep suppressing the prices, and sooner or later, or you keep suppressing the price for, the goods and services,
mm-hmm.
Through whatever means. It's kind of, I always like to use the two before equation. If the government comes in and goes over to Home Depot or Lowe's and says, hey, you know, you can't sell those two befores for more than $1. Well, what's going to happen? I mean, think about that just mm-hmm. for a second. What's going to happen if you can't charge it? Let's say it costs $2 to make the two before, but the government comes in and says you can only sell them for $1.
Yeah. Well, you aren't going to sell them. You can't make a profit.
Either that or what's going to happen is you're going to sell all of them fairly quickly because there's going to be a run on the two befores at half price, and then there's going to be a shortage.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because you can't manufacture two befores for less than $2. So who's going to start manufacturing two befores?
People that can do it for cheaper.
They have to, or not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so that's kind of why the price controls don't work. Is that the two befores you have to charge a fair market value and absolutely. Enough to make a profit.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what's going on here is we're not seeing the big picture over time. And the statistics are, you know, the Mark Twain always said, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics, you know. So you can skew these things any way you want. But I want to talk, I want to get more of your opinion. Everybody knows what I have to say. but I want to get more of what you, and I know this is the first time on radio, so, you know, don't be nervous. Everything's good to go.
Only, it was fine until you said that.
You know, only a half
now I'm shaking.
Only a half a million people are going to know that, that if you screwed up.
Oh, well, we do it all the time. Don't worry.
Yeah, I have to run straight home from here so nobody knows where I live. you know, tell us some more about your school and what you're doing down there. And, you know, why are you so interested in economics? And you know, because most people at your age are not interested in economics.
All right. So I go to Anderson New Tech. I'm going to be a junior this coming year. Started me into econ. That's a good question.
What's econ?
Economics. So.
Oh! Short, yeah. Short, econ short.
Yeah.
Got an acronym for everything now.
Yeah. It, well, yeah, with all those, three letter ones. Yeah. my first economics course was this last year, actually. But before that, I had read The Road to Serfdom.
Oh, by, Hayek.
Yeah, so yeah. That was my first introduction. And,
very
you know,
good.
Yeah.
we're on the same plane.
Yeah.
He's been fooling me, telling me he's a Keynesianist.
Well, yeah, maybe.
you're evolving.
I am evolving. Before, you know.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah. I really thought that gold was kind of this, you know, system of currency.
Archaic relic that nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, that fiat currency, you know, really was our modern age future. But then, you know, you start learning about QE3 and the money that's being pumped into the privatized banks and the Federal Reserve with negative interest rate.
Well, it's funny because that first book that you handed to me and said, read this, you know, and I read it. And then my question to you was they didn't have one chapter on central banking in there.
Yeah, or monetary theory.
On monetary theory. So – what's the biggest thing in economics?
It's money. it's simple as that.
Okay, so we won't talk about that at all. Yeah. I mean, but you understand why, what my point was.
Yeah.
Is that they're not teaching you anything about money. They're teaching you a lot of theory, a lot of things that, you know, and I'm not saying it's all invalid, but, you know, Hayek, I think, was a lot better book for you than the one. And the one that you gave me was a guy, I don't remember his name. Do you remember?
No, I can't remember his name.
But
that's not have been that important.
But he was a Harvard law professor, I believe.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what I was listening to Jim Rickards last night, like I was telling you earlier. And what he said was that, you know, Keynesian and, you know, Keynes himself wasn't so bad. But what happened was his theories got. You know, they went to Harvard, and then all of a sudden they got bastardized, and they call it Keynesianism, but it's not necessarily what he was for.
Yeah, and I mean, like you were even telling me this morning that, I mean, you know, now, I mean, Keynes was living in a period of gold-backed currency. So, I mean, now we're just living in this, you know, system of fiat, which can only be devalued, so.
Right, and then I think the light bulb moment is the store of value moment. Mm-hmm. You know, because really, in order for money to qualify as money, there has to be a store of value over time.
And there has to be a guarantee that it's going to be worth something tomorrow.
That's exactly right. So. And that's why in a fiat currency, it always goes bad, because if the government continues to devalue the currency, and they do it at a faster rate because they can't slow down on their spending, then people lose confidence and trust in the currency, because there is no store of value unless you believe there's a store of value.
Yes.
And that's the difference between gold.
Yep. Always holds its value.
It holds its value. And that's the base. See, that's the basic thing that they don't want you to know. I mean, they don't want the general public to know. They go, oh, gold's archaic. Gold, oh, it has the, goes up and down. And, you know, they talk about all the stuff that's causing it to go up and down.
Yeah.
But over time, does gold always hold a value?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's the big issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. We've discovered the theory of, monetary value with gold. And that's why they won't talk about it. Because if we go to a gold-backed system or gold itself, and I'm not saying gold's a perfect system, but you can maintain a store of a value that can't be devalued outside the government's reach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
instead of the government just guaranteeing you that it's
going
to hold something.
Yeah, because the other way, we guarantee you, only we're going to let you do, we're going to devalue you 98% of what your value was over 100 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and they won't lie about it or anything.
Oh, no.
No.
No, these guys wouldn't lie. I mean, look at what's been happening in the news. I mean, the IRS. These guys are just stellar.
I think we need to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Howdy, baseball fans. Nate Aberea here, your Reading Colt 45s broadcaster. Tune in to KCNR 1460 this Saturday as the 45s hit the road over the mountains to Humboldt County, where they'll be taking on their bitter rivals, the Humboldt Crabs, in a crucial Far West League matchup. Coverage begins Saturday night at 7 o'clock right here on KCNR 1460, the official broadcast partner of the Reading Colt 45s.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Bells on Their Toes, the incredibly funny sequel to Cheaper by the Dozen. Shortly after their dad dies, mom heads to Europe in place of her husband, leaving the kids in the care of the handyman and themselves. Of course, hilarity ensues. The kids take care of each other, take in a lodger, get chicken pox, and even find love along the way. Opening January 22nd and running through July 20th. It's family fun for all. Bells on Their Toes. Tickets available at Cascade Theater, cascadetheater.org, or for more information, riverfrontplayhouse.net.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This week, we welcome back two of our most compelling guests ever for an unprecedented third Sunday in a row. Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty are American business people who were in Libya when the Arab Spring broke out in 2011. They'll share additional details of their experiences, details you won't hear in the mainstream media, on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Well, we're back. We're having computer problems here on the internet, so there's no bumper music there, but that's okay. We can make it happen. So let's get back to, I wanted to talk more about, you know, your experience in the classroom, Josh, with the economics. Tell me about, you know, okay, you took this class and then from there it opened up this world for you.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you're thinking about, what they're teaching in there. And, do you think that they're teaching you good economic theory?
I think that depends on the teacher and where he aligns philosophically as far as, you know, money goes.
I see.
My teacher was a kind of neo-monetarist, so a monetarist meaning that the strength of the economy depends on the money supply itself. And then we learned about monetary theory, but only basically the different types of money-backed systems you can have. So we've got fiat, backed, and hard. Really the three main ones that we can have. And he aligns more with Milton Friedman in that we should just have a stable money growth about 2% every year. But like we were talking about earlier, that, you know, that's, you know, increase in prices over – I mean
– You know, the thing is this, is that here's the big equation for me on the 2% a year. Who's benefiting from that? They always say, oh, 2% inflation a year, that's good for the economy. Well, an expansion of the currency can be good for the economy. But the question is, who's benefiting from the 2%?
All that money is supposed to end up back in a bank. I mean, you're not, I mean, really, it's a system of debt. I mean, that's the one thing, my light bulb moment was it's a system of debt. It's not a store of value anymore.
Exactly.
So it's a promisory note that I'm going to pay you back something with
interest. Well, they borrow it into existence.
Yes.
Okay. And once you understand that they borrow the money, all our money is borrowed into existence.
Yes.
That's going into the federal government and the coffers and all this lending. Well, how can you borrow money into existence is the first question.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So when a bank really wants its money, you know, for a loan or anything, if they don't have the capital on them themselves, you know, they go to the lender of last resort. You know, that's the Federal Reserve. And they're going to take out an interest rate loan from them. Then they can magically poof that into the customer's account. So I mean, really, and then there's the multiplier effect. Say you've got $100, you know, of a 9-to-1, meaning you only have to have $1 in the bank, and you can multiply that 9 times out.
Yeah, that's fraction, so, that's called fractional reserve banking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you think about that for a second. If I'm, okay, let's say I'm the bank and I'm going to lend you money into existence. Okay. And then you're going to owe me back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to charge you interest. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit like a con game to you?
Absolutely. It's the biggest scam in human history.
Bingo. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. That's what people don't get. They think, no, it couldn't happen. How could the bank lend money into existence from nowhere and then charge interest on the, see, that's why it's easy to prove that you got a private bank doing this.
Yes.
Because if we just had our federal government owning the United States Bank and it was the bank of the people, you might have a 2% inflation.
Yeah.
But there would be no interest on the inflation. Yeah. And then your expansion of the currency wouldn't be quite as bad because there wouldn't be a $16-17 trillion debt.
Yeah. But I mean, the people are so in favor of this, you know, fractional reserve system because they make interest on their accounts. So, but I mean, but that interest is taxed, you know, because it's inflation basically.
Sure.
And really you're not making anything. So
after inflation.
Yeah. So really you could actually see your bank account shrinking as, you know,
well,
store value.
Well, that's what's happening. And over the time is our buying power is getting less and less and less, and you don't see it. That's why you get people that make statements like there's no inflation out there, because they don't understand the devaluation of their currency in relationship to the cost of things, and how that there can be certain segments of the market that aren't affected by inflation and certain segments that are affected quite a bit more.
And inflation now is calculated through the Consumer Price Index, which is only relative to today's prices. So when you're using...
And they throw out all the stuff.
Yes, exactly. And then when, you know, they don't even factor in sticky wages, and they're going to say, oh, well, we're just going to head and raise the minimum wage. Well,
right. Well,
with sticky wages, that makes about 90% of the population, you know, lose out on money. You know, it's the only people that helps out is down at the bottom tier.
You should Google hedonics. And hedonics, this is how hedonics works. What they do is they say, okay, the price of filet mignon went up to $10 a pound. We'll throw that out and won't count that in our equation on the consumer price index anymore. But we'll count low-grade hamburger.
Yeah.
And replace it with that and say that there's no inflation, even though we no longer can buy the filet mignon, we can now buy, fatty hamburger.
Yeah. So
or dog food.
Yeah.
They could actually replace it with dog food, and now they're saying that there's no inflation.
So the quality's going down. And
Standard of living.
Yep.
See, that's the thing, is that your standard of living is declining whether you know it or not. And
that's amazing. They just interject these things, you know. Oh, we're only going to count this now and then. Oh.
Yeah.
But I'm actually living pretty well, you know. I can afford my dog food.
Well, we're living relatively well considering, you know, the technology and the advancements, because we always go to there.
Yeah.
But in some ways, our fathers and forefathers were living a lot better because they didn't have a $17 trillion debt over their heads.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the, we forget to lose that, because then we get to be slaves to the banking system for forever.
Yeah.
And we pass that on to you, and you get to pass that on to your kids.
Thanks.
It wasn't me personally, but yeah, exactly. But you see what happens is they create what they did was, you know, during the Civil War, they got rid of slavery. Only what they really did was they widened the plantation when they got the banking in here. And now everybody gets to be on the plantation. Yeah. They don't even know it. And I, what's the quote? There was a quote, I can't remember who said it, that the worst people that are enslaved are the people that think they're free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because if you think you're free, there's no problem.
Yeah.
You know, let's go back to the field and keep working.
Yeah.
Just keep them happy in the home.
Keep digging.
Keep digging. It's true. And so, you know, and then I've actually approached this with our ex-esteemed congressman, and, you know, their answer was, well, if you don't like this system, well, you know, yeah, you hate this system, and, you know, and then they tell you that the profits from the Federal Reserve go back to the federal government. And that's true. But what they don't tell you is let's take 2% interest on, or 3% interest on $17 trillion. Anybody got a calculator?
Not on me.
I don't think it'll do it. It's way too much.
So let's just say 2% interest on $200 billion. Okay. So they take in $200 billion and pay their wages. Run all their expenses through their account because they're a private corporation. Yeah. And anybody who's in business knows what I'm talking about. You know, you might make $1 million, but if you spend it correctly on deductible items, none of that gets taxed. So you might have to be real creative and take trips to Switzerland and, you know, you might
do
have
line dancing,
do
or
line
something.
Dancing and cruise can, you know, yeah. You get good, and you know, you can deduct cruises as long as you have seminars about banking and you follow that up with the documentation. That's actually in the code, believe it or not. So you can take cruises, you can go skiing, you can go out to dinner anytime you want. And all of that doesn't come to you as income and it's not taxable either.
That's awful.
Welcome to the system.
But this is good for everybody, right? Yeah. See, I mean, you start seeing what's going on here. So, you know, let's get back to the school. I want to talk more about the school and what they're teaching because so evidently economic theory is based on your,
these different philosophers. I mean, Thorstein, right. Veblen, Milton Friedman, Hayek, Keynes, Adams, Malthus, say, just about, you know, all it is economic theory. I mean, it's not money anymore. I mean, we're just supposed to understand that we live in a fiat system and that's what we're living in. So.
Hey, we got a caller on the line. Carl, is that you, Carl Bott?
That's who it is.
How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing fine. Are you getting excited?
I'm excited. Yes. I'm always excited. You know me. I can't even
stop. Well, that's true. You all are.
Somebody stop me.
How about tonight? I'm really looking forward to tonight.
Very good, very good. What do you got, Carl?
Nothing. I was just going to call in and just say how happy we are that you're on this station, and that you always have something that we can that's of interest to people.
Well, I appreciate that, Carl.
In too many venues around the United States, I guess you can say the corporation media has taken over.
Yeah.
Yes.
With lip service to what's happening in the community, or the community has no choice. It's in the paper, so, you know, there may be a paper, and then there's the only choice. That's the only way people can get the word out. It's the only way people can stand up. But then the papers don't take the side, and they don't let you say what you're really thinking, or they censor it.
Yeah, well, we've learned that one the hard way, haven't we?
We have. And so you've got to have a network of radio shows and people that are willing to stand up and willing to take that chance and put their thoughts out there and not worry about some politically correct people having a problem with it. You know, then you find out that so many people agree with what you're saying. The people like, you know, it's your show and many others, Mark.
Well, thanks, Carl. We really appreciate that. And I think you're totally right. I mean, that's been the whole thrust of my show is to try to go after the stuff that nobody else will touch. You know, doesn't make us right 100% of the time, but the paradigm that the media projects is like you say, a one-way street. They never explore the possibility of any other viewpoint. Then here it is. I mean, why don't we ever have anybody talk about the Federal Reserve or the birth certificate or whatever it happens to be? Because the corporate control of the media has gotten to the point of absolute stupidity.
And when you've got to the point there, that leaves the independents, that leaves the stations that are out there to build a network so that, you know, that everybody that can at least listen to it, at least get another viewpoint. Let people open their minds up and listen.
We need more power in this station, Carl. We need like that.
We need booster turbo.
We need like 10,000 watts. You know, we don't want to come out of Pahrump, Nevada or anything like Art Bell. But
well, I tell you what. Here's the first phase was getting us on the air, getting us making this into a. A station that can actually pay its bills and all that, which we've done from the beginning, and then build a group of people that we want to put up on the air. Then the next step is going for wattage. So we're at
very
that
good.
Point.
Nice.
Very good.
Anyway.
Cool.
All
right. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks for calling in, and we look forward to seeing you tonight.
Tonight's going to be a big night. There's that first real big step.
Yep.
So I don't know if there's even any tickets left, but we're going to have a great time.
I just have a few.
Okay.
Be there or
all
be
right.
Square.
Okay, we'll see you then.
All right, thanks, Carl. Very good. Go ahead. I guess we need to take a break. Go ahead.
Okay, Linda. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You're doing. Money, 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 money.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Everyone here at Bastiani Arms wants you to know that we're proud to be your local gun shop. There's a special feeling running a small shop. It gives us a chance to spend more time with you, getting to know your needs, your shooting habits, helping us become the best shop we can for you. It also allows us to order just what we need. Keeping our overhead down means keeping our prices down, tailoring everything in the store for you, the customer. We'd like to remind you, it's never too early to learn gun safety, so bring the family down because we'd love to meet them. Bastiani Arms, Larkspur Lane, 222-8222. Join the revolution.
Money. Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound, a mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound is all that makes the world go around. That clinking, clanking sound that makes the world go round.
I love cabaret.
That's a good one. Yeah, we were just talking about debt slavery. I mean, people, you know, we're free in America. Well, you know, there's a saying in the Bible that says the borrower is servant to the lender. And I think that's what everybody is missing is this is the Machiavellian model that's been going on for a long time. And if I can create a debt out of thin air and lend it to you at interest, guess what? And I keep doing that over time. You're going to become my yep. serf. And so they collect the money via the federal, you know, the tax system, the IRS. And of course, yes. those guys are fair and impartial. They never,
yeah. Fair and balanced there.
Yeah, exactly. They'd never target anybody, but, right. you know, so except people who want to get free. And so, you know, but that's what we were just talking about is that they created debt mm-hmm. slavery that can never be repaid.
Absolutely.
So Machiavelli, that was his way of controlling. We were talking about the 2%.
Yeah.
Okay. Why 2%?
Well, that's the growth of the money supply, and that's supposed to be the growth of the economy.
Right. So. But what it also is that if I started printing money and it went to 50% a week, mm-hmm. would there be a problem with that?
Absolutely.
What would happen?
Well, you have an inflationary spiral. So people are going to want to spend – they want to get their paycheck as soon as possible, and they're going to go to the store and buy everything they can with that you know amount of money.
Because it's being devalued
Absolutely.
Quickly.
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Does that cause any other problems, do you think?
Yes.
Tell me, Josh.
Anytime you have an inflationary spiral, I mean, we all know about the Weimar Republic, you know, Germany 1922, you know, one US dollar is about 2 trillion, you know, German marks. So, I mean, people were literally taking, although, you know, we could just use a credit card now. We won't have to take a wheelbarrow full of cash.
Right.
You know, we're just going to go and buy as much as possible. So right. No one's going to have any savings anymore. I mean, we're all just going to try to spend as much as possible.
Does anybody still have any savings out there?
I was talking to someone yesterday, and it was something like 70-some percent of Americans are just
something
living,
like 76%.
Yeah, living paycheck to paycheck now.
Yeah. So, well, see, that's where I'm kind of going with this. Why only 2%? Because if you ratchet it up, it causes such economic upheaval and problems.
It's a huge bubble.
That people have a tendency to start figuring out what the problem is or revolting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ratchet this up like the Weimar Republic, where people are running around the streets starving.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that, that's not a really good economic system for a stable government.
No.
And the problem is now we have a worldwide fiat connected to our dollar.
Yes.
Problem. And people are starting to see riots. I mean, we've got riots going on in Argentina now, in Venezuela, you know, Europe. I don't know. I mean, what the big picture eventually is, but the problem is that it's typically caused by government overspending.
Yes. And this is kind of interesting. It actually came from Paul Krugman. But, Paul.
Boo. Boo.
Yes. But Paul Krugman, a couple of years back, he was saying that in the year 2012, if we don't solve, you know, our deficit, we're going to start making Argentina look like a model government.
Well, that's interesting coming from Mr. Krugman.
Yes, it is.
What is his solution is the first question.
Oh, no, he wants to increase spending by at least $200 billion more into infrastructure and Medicare.
And is that going to create a bigger debt?
Absolutely.
Does that make us slaves for a longer period of time?
Yes, and increases taxes eventually. So.
Absolutely, and that's the bottom line. See, that's why people, they go back and look at 1913. That was the year that our government really changed. I mean, we like to delude ourselves with we're in a free society. But how can you have a free society where people have a monopoly on printing money, lending it out at interest that they created out of thin air?
That they're going to tax.
And then they're going to yeah, and then they're going to lend it to the government who's then going to, you know, put it in and then they're going to tax everybody on the top of it. So when they did that in 1913, that was pretty much the end of our republic. It took 100 years for the full effects to really come into play before we started seeing it, because when you do 2% a year, you don't feel it.
Yeah. No, you don't.
You don't
feel it. Boil the frog.
Then we have that minimum wage increase. It's a price control, and that's, you know, the thing that bugs me the most about it is because over this period of time, well, okay, we're just going to adjust the amount people should be paid. So they can afford this inflation.
That's why they always promote jobs instead of business. See, businesses, all they do is they can solve the problem by just, raising their prices. Yeah. So if there's a 2% inflation, you know, you can raise your prices 2%, you can kind of keep even with it. The problem is the big picture over time, if you keep creating a debt at $17 trillion is that pretty soon you've got a vortex that's sucking all of the money out of the economy. Mm-hmm. And if the interest rates go up, I keep talking about the 10-year, if the interest rates go up, it sucks so much out of the economy that you can't pay the bills on everything else like the Army, the Navy, the Marines, welfare, the entitlements, and all the things that we keep talking about. I mean, we had this, I'm not going to divert too much from the subject, but we had this Defensive Marriage Act thing. The Supreme Court ruled against so now they can have gay marriages in California, wherever. I don't care. See, for me, it's not. If it was just about that, they would do whatever they want. Go get married, have a good time, nobody cares. But what they want is they want benefits from the government.
Yeah.
So it's really not about the marriage, in my opinion, is that they want Social Security, because if their spouse dies or whatever, now they can get Social Security.
Right.
So what it is everybody's on the dole. And so they don't want it's not about marriage, it's about money. And it always seems to come back to that, because then if you are dependent on the government for your livelihood, and let's go back to Krugman. Now, this stuff is like the math professor.
Yes.
Krugman wants to grow his way. He thinks that we can grow our way out of this.
Yes. And eventually, you know, through so much discretionary spending and whatnot, I mean, we'll have such, you know, a multiplier effect that we'll be able to just, you know, make boundless amounts of money, you know, in the end. So, but I mean, all that really results into is a bubble. So, you know, I mean.
And the bankers get really wealthy, and maybe we have a reset. Everybody else gets poor and goes hungry, and then they just reset and do an occurrency.
I mean, it's a hot potato. I mean, whoever holds those securitized mortgage assets, you know, at the end is the one that gets burned.
Absolutely. And so then let's take it full circle and come back to gold. Why gold? Why do you think that the central banks, the Chinese government, all these governments are buying up gold while the currency is being devalued?
I think that's a stupid question. I mean,
well, there's no stupid questions, but there's a lot of stupid people.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it would be the same reason that we're trying to do it. I mean, it's because we're afraid of the currency collapse. I mean, I don't know if I would call it a collapse, but I mean, certain devaluation of our currency in the long run.
Right.
So, I mean, it's to make sure that they still have that store of value.
Exactly, because you can't have a store of value in something that's depreciating faster and faster on a daily basis. Now, gold's crashed in the last, six months.
It's going down. It keeps going down.
Silver's going down. Then why did China, China is like
the biggest buyer of gold right now.
Well, they bought 2,000 tons of silver last month. Yeah. You think that there's going to be a price shoot up here pretty soon?
Absolutely. Law of demand.
Yeah. So that's what they're not factoring in, is that the price has been artificially, it doesn't matter. Take your pick, Savannah. We want to know if we're going to do Tears for Fears or Simple Man on the way out. I'm not sure how close to on the way out we are. 5 minutes?
We have
5 minutes. Do Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world. So. I like that part. Anyway, but that's the bottom line here, is that when you have a collapse of the currency, you know, and it doesn't have to be hyperinflation that collapses this currency. That's why when I hear that there's no inflation, then you're not looking around at the prices.
That's only nominal. I mean, it's not comparative to what, you know, the currency was worth comparative to gold 100 years ago.
Right.
So, they keep up with inflation, you know, at normal nominal prices right now with the minimum wage.
Well, and people who are doing well in this economy and bringing in a lot of money don't notice nearly as much if the price on bread doubles or the price on gas doubles. Yeah. See, they just absorb it. Yeah. But if you keep doing that, are you not putting the people who are not doing so well in the economy farther and farther down in the ditch?
You're killing them. Yeah.
You're killing them. And as the economy tanks, more and more people get killed. So the people that are doing well don't notice it until it's killing them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which at some point it's going to happen.
Yes.
If you keep doing 85. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Let's just keep printing $85 billion a month. What could go wrong?
Yeah. that $85 billion a month, you know, it's buying of those, you know,
securities. Buying mortgage-backed securities.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, that's
going in the stock market.
Yes. I mean, really, that's amazing.
Well, think about that. The stock market hasn't been.
Yes.
There's no inflation in the stock market right now. That's why we're only up at 15,000 and the S&P. And yeah, that wouldn't cause any inflation, would it, if you kept stuffing money into the stock market?
Yeah.
Or maybe we should be at 9,000 and with a non-inflationary spiral.
Yeah.
Buy stock. Yeah, or whatever. So.
Yeah, sure. That's crazy.
Is that crazy or what? So this whole thing's crazy. Nobody understands anything. And Ben Bernanke, all he has to do is say that we're going to taper.
Yeah.
Is that great or what?
What does that even mean, taper?
Yeah,
we're going to cut down, not spend, you know, we're not going to. You borrow $85 billion and then give it to someone else.
Well, no, what that translates is we're not going to counterfeit quite as much this month.
Okay.
We're going to go down to 80 instead of 85, you know?
And over time, we'll stop counterfeiting less and less.
Yeah.
And so the economy is going to get better. We're going to grow our way right out of it.
I just can't wait till all that money hits markets, though. I mean,
God help us is really what's happening here. And, you know, we're setting up for a huge crash. But, you know, is the market crashing right now? I believe so. I mean, if you look at the worldwide, go to MarketWatch and go through where on the right-hand side there, it shows the Dow and the S&P. And you can then on the right top-hand corner of the box, so you look at a month, look at 3 months, look at, you know, a year, whatever. And go look at that and then go through all of the different aspects of the American economy, the European economy, the Asian economy, and then look at the interest rates on the 10-year. And if you don't think that we're running into a problem, hey, let's go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Everything's all good.
And the world's population's only getting older, too.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Healthcare costs.
Oh, very good. Yeah, see, and then Obamacare hasn't kicked in at all.
Well, us older people won't get it at all.
Yeah. Sucks for you.
Oh, Josh.
I'm going to be dead.
It doesn't matter.
You know, just give me a death panel. I'm on my way. Who cares? Yeah. Dirt nap time.
Yep.
So, but everybody will get health care, right? Yeah, just like everybody's going to be prosperous in an economy where we have a debt-based fiat currency.
Yes. there's so much more we could talk about. I
mean, it is true. We're running out of time, and we really enjoyed having you here, Josh.
Yeah, well, I appreciate being on.
We'll have to have you back again. You know, the fun never stops at North State. I'm not sure where we at on the – do we have anything else we need to go by or get over onto the air here? How much time we got left?
About 30 seconds.
Okay, then I got to end with – You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. My name is Mark Kent. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama meeting with Nelson Mandela's family in South Africa as he's hospitalized in critical condition with a lung infection. The president then held a town hall meeting at the University of Johannesburg, saying the continent has to step up its own manufacturing.
Africa cannot just be a source of raw materials for somebody else. It has to be a source of the kinds of products and services and imagination that is going to be the future of the 21st century.
He says he's working on trade deals to let African nations export goods to the United States more cheaply. Relatives and friends at a church in Boston remembering Odin Lloyd. Three men now in custody for his murder, including former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez.
Outside Aaron Hernandez's childhood home in Bristol, Connecticut, a woman stepped out to tell us
Aaron will be innocent at the end.
Neighbors described the 23-year-old who was released this week by the Patriots as a leader who